All right, Ezra. So we are a little tighter on time today. So I'm going to do some reading, and I'm going to get it out by 5 minutes. Hashem. Ready for the big chiddush?
Yes.
Ready for the big chiddush? All right. Good. So tachlis, objective or subjective? Mitzvah Yishuv Sukkah or the Ptur Mitzar? What do we decide?
Well, according to the Rav Shimoni, it's definitely.
Subject. Okay.
Subject.
So it's machlokes between Rashi and Shmuel Shimoni. Shmuel Shimoni, by the way, was—he's also a guy. He's like, he was Shmuel Shimoni to me. Now he's a Rambam coach. So that's how it goes. In fact, I remember one time. I'm being serious. I am being serious.
You heard him say. He's Rosh Shmuel Shimoni, but now he's a Ramat Gush.
No, I didn't say that. I said when I knew him, he was Shmuel Shimoni, just like,
he's giving him Mahila.
And now he's Rav Shmuel Shimoni, who's a Ramat Gush. Not only do I remember Rav Shmuel Shimoni when he was Shmuel Shimoni, but I also remember, and he wrote a whole DVM series on Sukkah. I remember one year, Motzei Yom Kippur, I believe, Rav Taragin, but Rav Moshe Taragin gave a shiur on something related to Sukkah, because right, it's Motzei Yom Kippur, and so getting ready for Sukkah. So he gives a shiur, and so a bunch of guys are sitting there, and Shmuel Shimoni was sitting on the shiur. He was already one of the older guys in Yeshiva, and I think that was when he was working on Shiur on Masech Sukkah. And so Rav Moshe Targin's Shiur on Masech Sukkah became a ping pong match, also known as a public chavruta, between Rav Moshe Targin and Shmuel Shimoni. And the rest of us, who weren't holding in Sukkah at the time, were like, it was like back and forth. That was like a half an hour right there. So he's holding in Sukkah. He's good. Yeah, this is the background. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about first of all, Chola and Misham Shehen, then we'll talk a little bit about Mitzta'er. And there's so much more to talk about in these, and we just don't have time to go into everything, but at least you'll hear my Chiddush. Hopefully it'll be worth something, and if it's not worth anything, then you can go get a real shear, but hopefully you'll walk away feeling like you learned something.
Take a vote.
All going on Y Torah, guys. Okay, no, my self-deprecating, yeah,
came up with this thing.
I'm going to share with you most of what we're doing is my Chiddush on... Okay, on the Tosos Harash as an entryway, there's the answer, as an entryway to a radically new understanding of not just Cholin and Misham Shehen, but also into understanding what Pshat is in the midst of Shiva and Sukkah.
On the Chagiga part, because that was a clear diversion from any connection.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Tosos Rosh being like another explanation.
No, so Tosos Rosh is the segue.
It's a segue.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, in Okinami. But that's another clue that it's a segue.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, good. Yeah. Alright, so you're holding. Good. So you lost already give shear. So we're good. Alright, okay. Alright, so here we go. So the Mishnah Chavei Menal teaches that Shashuchi Mitzvah Ptur Menasukah. So number one, we said Osik Mitzvah Pater Menamitzvah. Again, we're not focusing on that so much, but that's the first stuff, right after the Mishnah here, what we're skipping is basically Osik Mitzvah Pater Menamitzvah writ large. Okay. Cholin Misham Shem Ptur Menasukah. Ochlin Shosan Reichlitzah. So let's focus on that second clause of the Mishnah. So if you are sick or you are servicing, you're a caretaker for someone who's sick, so you're pater min hasukkah. The Gemara goes on, we're not going to get to all the details. The Gemara discusses, says the Gemara, it's obvious, if it's pikuach nefesh, right, if your life is literally in danger, we know it all, halacha, right? So with the exception of the big three, etc., basically, pikuach nefesh is dochek kol Torah kula, so obviously, if it's a chol sheish bo sakana, that's obvious. That we did not need to teach in the Mishnah. Rather, Ela filu choleshe in bo sakana. Even someone who is ill, but not of a life-threatening illness type sore, such an individual is pater. Okay, va filu chash be'enav. What's chash be'enav?
Nisha chashash.
Okay, good. Right.
So it's a baya.
Yeah, baya be'enav. Nachon. Okay. So right, so he's got some sort of discomfiture in his eyes. Chash brosho, also known as a headache, a cave rosh, as Rashi probably tell us. Okay, so such an individual is going to be Pater Minasuka. Okay, babe, I really missed the girl. I said if you don't behave yourself.
I'm the audience.
Okay? If you don't... if you don't... out! Out! And out! Okay, good times. I love alumni reunion, just like 9th and 10th grade. Okay. All right, fine. Amar Rashbag says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Pa Machad, Chashti Be'inai. One time, I had an eye ache. Apparently, there weren't just headaches, there were eye aches. Bizman HaGemara, it never fails. Okay. So, Chashti Be'inai B'Kisari. So, I was in Caesarea, and I had an eye ache. V'hita Rav Shimon B'Rebi, Lishan Yim Shamshai Chutz HaSukkah. Rav Yossi B'Rebi permitted me and my assistants to sleep outside the sukkah. Good. Rav Shar L'Rav Acha Barzal L'Migma B'Chilta B'Sukkah. Rav permitted Rav Acha Barzla. By the way, his very few shitos in the Gemara appears maybe two or three times in the Gemara. Shas, he permitted him to sleep in under the canopy of the sukkah. Normally, can you do that?
No.
Right, you're not yotze. Right? That's one of the halachos. Right, there's a hefsek basically between you and the sukkah, and that doesn't work. Nonetheless, he permitted him to do this. Why mishum boki? What's boki? What do you guys come up with?
Oh, flies.
What?
The
RF
says flies.
Okay.
We did all the
EM. Right, did he find the online Castro? Did he explain it?
It could be bed bugs. It could be bed bugs. It could be...
It's a machlokes.
It could be...
What? It's right, the laze? Okay, so it's right there. It's on the page. Good. All right, so... Yeah, I couldn't figure out, Pshat, what the connection is between all these different flies and insects and being a bucky and something. I was like... They're like really holding, like they're really driving me insane, like they're really all over me. Like I was, I'm not sure whether or not it was like, I don't know. It's a good question. Rav Sharalei L'Rav Acha Bar Ada Bar Mitalasa. So Rav permitted Rav Acha Bar Ada to sleep outside of the sukkah. Mishum Sircha de Gargishta. Would you guys come up with this one? Sircha de Gargishta.
Concrete floor. Uncomfortable floor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so there's something like that. So, like, if you were trying to build outside, as we've tried in past years, but you were doing it really last minute, your sukkah would have been out in the lake, in the
reservoir.
But it's almost that clean. The water's almost. What? It's like, they don't know for sure. They decide yet?
That's
from the source. Very good. Rav Minasuka. Rav is considered an opinion because he holds that Mitzar is Patra Minasuka. I ask the Rav Anantanan, didn't we teach in our Mishnah? Cholim Shem Turim Minasuka. Chole in Mitzah Erlo. If our Mishnah teaches that a chole is exempted from the Sukkah, so then Mitzah Er presumably is not exempted. It's double negative. You're not. Right, you're not. You don't not have to sit in the sukkah. Right, so in other words, a mitzayer should have to sit in the sukkah. The answer is the Gemara. No, both cholim and mitzayer are exempt from the sukkah. LMI, but what's the difference? Right, very good. Okay, so it must mean what we mentioned yesterday. Is we're here, right? Look, Amri, we say chulehu mishamshav ture mitzayer hu pater mishamshav. Okay, good. So we have a discrepancy between them, even though they're both exempt. So let's start with the second clause in the Mishnah, the halacha of cholin umeshan shehen. By the way, mitzayer, what's the basis for the p'tur mitzayer? That's the easier one in the Rishonim, at least. Right? Tishlu ke'in to do is right. We saw this yesterday. Toso says this, and I bought that Toso a little bit later on. Toso says explicitly in Chavam Nalef that a Mitzar is exempted on the basis of Tishlu ke'in to do. And the Ritva in Source 3 says that as well. Umitzta'ir ba'pater says the Ritva back on the Mishnah on Chavay Amid Aleph. Right? Mitzar ba'pater v'tama mishum dechsev. Teshvu ke'en taduro. Good. He could well be saying it about Chol Mishem Shein as well. It's not 100% clear in the Ritva, but definitely following Toso and basically unanimous among the Rishonim. Mitzayer is Pater Minasukka because of Teshvu ke'en taduro. It's yet another tour on that basis.
It's interesting why the Ritva doesn't elaborate as to what the connection between Teshvu ke'en taduro is and Mitzayer.
Right. I thought it was because it's kind of obvious. Like, in other words, you're uncomfortable, right? So if you were uncomfortable in your home, and you could be more comfortable, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but you could be more comfortable somewhere else, at a certain point, you'd leave your house. Right?
Yeah, that is pretty obvious. I don't know why I asked that.
If you have, right, you have the bokeh, right? The bucky is driving you crazy. Yeah. Right? At some point, you're like, enough of the bucky, right? I'm out of here. Good. So that's pretty straightforward, presumably. Yeah. Okay. Now, what about Cholim Shamshehen? If that's Tur Mitzar, what about Cholim Shamshehen? So you guys saw in the Makoros, there is a how many way machlokas, would you say?
Three.
In the Achronim, excellent, Jordan. A three-way dispute among the Achronim is the basis for the exemption of Mitzta'er, it would appear. Right? What does the Shari Tshuva say?
He's like Mitzta'er himself.
Shari-tshuva says what?
What was the shot that he quoted?
What?
What was
the Shvus Yaakov. Right? So the Shari-tshuva cites the Shvus Yaakov. Yaakov Reicher was his name. And he holds in Chelek Gimel Sin Mem Zayin, as Shari-tshuva cites here, that it talks about a case of someone who is hired by the community to be a caretaker for the ill. So what's his psak? The Shvus Yaakov Paskins. That what? Right, that he is potter. And he goes further. He says, okay, I'll summarize it outside. He says, even if there are some times when you're off, right? I mean, you're a normal human being. We're going to give you off, right? We're going to, you know, every once in a while, give you a little time to yourself to breathe. So what does he say? So halacha is, he says, even during those times that you're off the hook, you're not obligated in sukkah. Because what's going to happen? You're going to be sitting inside your sukkah, and what's going to happen to you? You're going to be distracted and upset. You're going to be distraught because you're worried about the cholah. So says the Shvus Yaakov, right? So he's going to be exempted.
Because he's Mitzar himself.
And as, right? And he seems to be, right? And seems to be rooted in the general assumption that Chola is an extension of Mitzar, which might have been the review of the Ritva as well, although it's not 100% explicit. And then he's adding that the caretaker is also Mitzar, not only when he's actually caring for the Chola, but when he's far away. Because what? He's always going in the back of his mind. Now, right, maybe you could say in an age of text, you know, it was different because you can have someone close by even if you're not physically close by, but certainly Bizman HaGemara, right, it was, you wouldn't know what was going on. If a person's really ill, you know, who knows what emergencies might have arisen. So in short, the Shvus Yaakov says, well, the basis is a form of Mitzta'er. And by the way, he seems to also explain, well, if this is also din of Mitzta'er, then why does that have a different halacha than Mitzta'er with regard to Misham Sheikhola? How does he implicitly answer that question? Right?
What's the question? The
question is as follows. If Mitztair and Chola
have
the same halacha, right, then why do we have a totally different halacha with regard to someone who's a caretaker for this individual?
Yeah. Right?
It's a good question. L'chora, it's a proof that they're not connected to one another, and other achronim do say that, right? As we'll see in a moment. So how does the Shvus Yaakov answer that question? How can it be that something that is exempted on the basis of the same category has a completely different scope and a broader scope than the initial category? The Nafelcho should be the opposite. So he's answering implicitly. You see that? What's he saying? He's saying that what?
Someone is like perpetually...
If I'm Mitztair, if I'm being driven batty by a fly, okay, that's not a comfortable place to be. But do you sit right over for me? Are you worried about poor old Rabbi Sinensky? Something's wrong with him? Something's going to happen to him? How would you describe the nature of the fly, of the buggy, or whatever?
It's only you.
It's you, and like, it's just... It's
internal.
It's an irritant. It's just an annoyance. It just... You'll forgive me. It bugs me. There's a reason for that saying, right? That's true. If you ever wondered, now you know. If there's one thing you remember from this year. Good. So that's, right, it's just annoying. But if someone is actually sick, that individual has a chronic condition. And something could go wrong even when I'm not there. So therefore, it actually ironically makes sense that this is actually, it's a more extreme form of Mitzair. Because it's a chronic condition which affects not just me, but my caretaker. To make sure that I'm not mitzdayer and that I remain comfortable and I'm taken care of, someone else needs to care for me. So even though fundamentally it stems from the category of mitzdayer, it's a chronic mitzdayer and therefore requires ongoing attention and therefore exempts not just me, but my caretaker as well. If I have a fly, I'll be all right. I'll handle it myself, right? You ever see that famous interview with the previous president? Right? So you're caught a fly in the middle, like that. All right, I'll take care of myself. I got it. You know what I'm talking about? At the Bama, he was in the middle of an interview. You guys were learning Eretz Yisrael. I was here and distracted by other things, and he went like that. I don't remember where I was. So if there's a fly, you'll deal with it. But if someone's really ill, they really need a caretaker, it's a different kind of thing. Okay. That's the Shari Tshuva according to the Shvus Yaakov. Then you have the Mishnah Berurah. What does the Mishnah Berurah say?
I think it's about to answer.
Yeah, right. So Mishnah Berurah says, right, Sif Katan Zayin here in Orachaim Tafresh Mem. Says Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Shem Turen source. Hey, Lefishin Oskin b'Mitzvah v'Chol Osek b'Mitzvah Poter Min HaMitzvah. So he has his own explanation. Is this a tour then that's local to Sukkah, or what do you call a universal tour? Is it particular, or is it universal? Okay? I'm not going to subjective objective, but at least I did.
Logo universal, right?
It's universal, okay? O sigma sa patra mitzvah. And then the Aruch HaShulchan says that what? Third explanation?
That you're going to live in somewhere that's best for you. Or like that you know, if your home is not good for you, then you're going to live somewhere else. So just like a sukkah, if it's not good for you, you're not going to stay.
Good. And what's the halachic terminology? What's the halachic category? Right? Just like in a sukkah, you wouldn't, that's exactly what we're learning. That's the sukkah of teshu ke'in tadura. So to summarize, we've seen three pshat. Then we saw that it's either based on, it's an extension of mitzvah, or it's the universal category of osik mitzvah pater menah, mitzvah according to the Mishnah, or the Aruch HaShulchan who says, what's teshu ke'in tadura? Who can call me on my three categories? Are these three or are they two? How are they sort of two?
Because teshu begins to do if the star is an extension.
If you hold like right, Tosas the Ritva, and the consensus among Rishonim is that Mitztayer itself goes back to teshu begins to do. So if we were doing a fancy schmancy char, we would cut right. We might be able to say that these are shtayim shemshal, right? Is it a direct application of teshu begins to do, or is it part of the cluster of the category Mitztayer, which itself goes back to teshu begins to do? They might still be somewhat different, but ultimately, they would partake of the same category of Teshu Ke'in Taduru, granting the view of Tosos and the Ritva, that ultimately inside goes back to Teshu Ke'in Taduru, whereas clearly, if you hold Osig Mitzvah Patar Mitzvah Shemiru, that's a completely different kind of approach. Okay? So good. So these are some of the different approaches that we have. Okay, now we're ready for Rosh Chodesh. Good. That's all important. It is important, but I think this point, especially if you hold of some of the views that we said above, I think we can start to understand this. So I want to show you why this is Rosh Chodesh bothered me. So it's like this. On the spices. Chola hu misham shu pater. Okay. It says, Afal gav, the efshir lo lishan below misham shu. He says, come on. This person can still live comfortably without the assistant. Says Tosas Arash, he kilu, they were lenient. They were lenient, linachas ruach lo, to provide some
peace
sort
of
peace of mind. Good, excellent. Lios mishamsho yashenimo, to allow the mishamish to live with him. He kilu. They were lenient. Who was lenient?
Chazal.
Chachamim were lenient. Let me ask you a question. What kind of category are we talking about here? We're talking about a category that the rabbis actually decide in terms, in a broader sense. But is this, normally, if you want to be makil, if the rabbis were makil, usually where do we use that language? They were makil. Like, there's a gzeira midrabanan, but we didn't want to be too strict on you. So no, hey kelu. You almost never find the concept of hey kelu. The rabbi, we didn't want to make it so hard for you, so therefore the rabbis were nice to you. What are you talking about? This is a chiyuv min haTorah. The rabbis don't have the right to come along and to say, well, we kind of feel badly for you, so even though the Torah really said that you're obligated to do this, we're going to abrogate that and do something different. There is such a category, but usually we don't allow it when you're just simply breaking away from the Torah. We say that, right? Sometimes you have the notion, but that's not what it really sounds like in the Tosas Arash. Anyone familiar with that? That there's something called Akiras Davar, right? You can be Oker Davar Na Torah B'Shei Val Taseh. It's a Gemara in Yevamot. That sometimes that rabbis have that, but it's like, it seems very strange here.
Like Ben Sora Mora kind of thing, or like?
Ben Sora Mora, the rabbis are saying that the Torah, it's interpretive. The rabbis are saying that the Torah itself provided the conditions such that this should be a theoretical radical rather than practical category.
So it's an example of like what you just said.
Maybe Kiddushin. Like, if they could be Oker Kiddushin is possibly an
example like something
of that.
Somewhere that happened. Like, oh, it's not a real Kiddushin in the first place because...
That's right, but that's exactly the problem. That's the struggle.
So it's something like that.
What gives the rabbis the power to undo normally if all it's right. A rabbinic enactment, the rabbis have control over that, but if it's a halacha min haTorah, it's a din d'oraita, they can't just say, no, we feel badly for you. So, chachamim urhi kelu. Doesn't make any sense. It's on its face, it's implausible. And what we're saying is, the rabbis felt bad, and it's a beautiful idea It's a beautiful idea. It's saying the Chachamim had sensitivity toward the Chula. Not only do they say that the Chula, him or herself, is exempted, if it's herself, she's exempted anyway, but not only the Chula himself is exempted from the Sukkah, but even the Misham Shehen. It's a beautiful idea. It's a show of how much Chazal care and understand, have empathy, have sympathy at least for someone who's really ill. Not only are you exempt, we're going to make sure that the person who's caretaking, right, the nurse, the doctor, whatever, what have you, it's beautiful. But just because it's beautiful doesn't mean it's halachically cogent, right? So it's a bizarre idea. The rabbis were leaning to let you off the hook from a mitzvah midor, right? So what are you talking about?
Maybe that's the assumption we have. That's a mitzvah midor, right? Maybe the assumption Tosarosh has that's exactly
right. What do you mean? We're talking about the mitzvah of sitting. Is the whole mitzvah in the HaTorah of sitting in the sukkah at Din D'Rabbanan? Everyone counts it as a mitzvah that's same in a Torah called Rav Yisrael Yeshua Basukot. No one would disagree it's a mitzvah midoraita.
I mean, but there's a lot. I don't get, like, why can't he just use it with any of the other reasons provided? Why Mishnah, like, a Mishnah Shim, like, would be putter from Sukkah?
He's saying the Chola himself.
None of these people say Kilo, though. None of them, like, oh, yeah, we feel bad, so we do that. Like, all of them provide rationale for why Mishnah Shim.
That's a question. Yeah. That's why he's saying he's giving such a.
That's right. The Tosos Harash for the Chola. The Tosos Harash is fine, and he will side with any of these explanations vis-a-vis the Chola himself. What about the Mishamesh? So some of the Achronim gave other explanations for the Mitzvah and so on and so forth. That's fine, because that fits into a pre-existing category with which we're familiar. Tosos Harash seems to be saying, the Chola, strictly speaking, it makes sense to exempt for one of these reasons or whatever reason. He doesn't really tell us, so, you know, fill in the blank. The Mishamesh, really, this individual should be chayav, but we were feeling really badly for the chulas, so you said, you know what, mishum nachat ruach lo, so we just let you do it. That's not how halacha works. The Tosfos Rosh's own system of halacha wouldn't provide for that. Can't just say, Tosfos Rosh, by its own understanding, look at, you know, the way that it operates in general, and any of the Rishonim can operate, it's not... You can't do that. You can't just say, well, we feel badly, so therefore the rabbis abrogated a biblical law just because we felt badly. Like, maybe it's like the Gemara Yevamot, that there's certain extreme circumstances which you say that, but it's not what it sounds like. It's like, what's this whole notion? Mishum nacharuach, hikirulam. So that's the question. Any theories?
Maybe it's a larger yisod at hand. Maybe he's trying to say the larger yisod. Like,
what's the larger yisod?
Sometimes in halacha, we can go one way or the other in terms of saying something is more imperative than the other.
Okay, good. So maybe this is a gray area, and it's in the gray area where Chazal have a greater degree of latitude.
Yeah.
Good.
Or Nachat Ruach, or something much more to this. It's not a schwer answer that we think, but there's a lot more to it in some way. That they're saying that the Chachamim were hikel because of the Nachat Ruach is something.
So let's talk it out a little bit. Nachat Ruach, at first glance, Nachat Ruach just means we feel badly for the Chola, which it certainly does. But what would allow us to kind of put together what you're saying, Jordan, with what Aviv was saying, and to see Nachat Ruach is not just that we wanted to be kind toward you, but we wanted to be kind to you for a very particular reason in this context specifically.
Part of being in the sukkah is Nachat Ruach.
Oh. So this is the suggestion that I wanted to offer for the Tosfos Harash, right? Something along these lines. If we understand that not only are Chazal, yes, exemplifying a beautiful sensitivity to the needs of the Chola, but also if the Rosh assumes that inherent to the category of the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah is Nachat Ruach, then and only then would it really make sense for Chazal to have that latitude. Right? And that I think would make sense. So I gave you in sources 8 and 9 a general example and a specific example from the Rosh himself about a category that might be useful for us here. It's called Misaruha Katuv L'Chachamim. And the category Misaruha HaKatuv L'Chachamim comes up in a handful of places in Shas and in the Rishonim. And basically, Misaruah Katuv L'Chachamim says that in a couple of places, we sort of, to some degree, break down the distinction between Doraita and Rabbanan in the following way. Sometimes, the Gemara already seems to say this by the Isser of Milacha and Chol HaMoed, because there's this ambiguity about Chol HaMoed. Can you do Milacha? Can you not do Milacha? What is its status? The Gemara says, Misaruah Katuv L'Chachamim. What that means is that the Torah itself built in a certain degree of latitude and said, I, as it were, God, and the Torah itself gives over to the Chachamim, the Chodor Vador, or whatever it might be, the latitude to determine, to kind of fill in the blanks. And that in that sense, the rabbis are not abrogating or undermining the intention of the Torah, just the opposite. That's exactly what was given. Misaru ha-ha-katuv la-chachamim, the katuv, the pasuk, the verse, gave it over to the rabbis and said, you know what, I'm going to intentionally leave this as a gray category and let you fill in the blanks. What is allowed, what's not allowed in l'chan l'chalom weid? According to some Rishonim, that's an isur de'oraita, but misaru ha-katuv la-chachamim, you know what, you can fill in the details. I'll give you another example. The Yireim, Rabbi Eliezer of Metz, was a great student, one of the greatest students of Rabbi Nutan. In his enumeration of the mitzvot, he says something very similar about the 39 lachot in Shabbat. Very interesting. He says, you know what? Of course there are biblical categories on melacha and Shabbat, but what are the details? How do we determine what constitutes a creative activity that is biblically proscribed, that's asur min haTorah on Shabbat? That's how he understands that category. And the Rosh himself says something similar. He gave it to you in Source 9 about the Arba Minim, in context of Sukkah generally. Not exactly our question, right. But he says, what's Pasul, what's Hadar, what's not Hadar, what are the details? He says, Torah gave a general framework and said that the rabbis are now empowered to fill in the details of that category in HaTorah. So that's a really interesting concept. So I want to suggest that maybe we have here is a variation on this idea. And I wanted to prove this idea of Nachat Ruach, because basically what we are saying then is that the Torah prescribed that as follows. A person not only has a chiyuv to sit in Sukkah, Tishu Kin Tadiru maybe can use in this direction, but basically Tishu Kin Tadiru, live like you live in your home. I'm saying more than that. Nachat Ruach. The Torah specifically stipulated person living in the sukkah is meant to do so in a way that is comfortable, that is pleasant, that gives him nachat ruach. That's the category, that's the mitzvah perhaps of yeshiva b'sukkah. Why would that be, and how do I know that it's so, or what might lend support to this? So here I gave you in Source 10 the Ritva. Comes along the Ritva Rav Yom Tov Ashbili, one of the great Rishonim, cites his own teacher, the Ramban. Shemati b'shem Rabbeinu HaGadol HaRamban Zal Chav Chenamudet in the Ritva in Sukkah. Shabbat Lomar, Shabbat Yitchayet B'Sukkah. The only person who's obligated to mitzvah Sukkah, Ela Mishehu Ke'ezrach Ra'anan. Torah says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. So ask the Ramban, apparently, the question. We don't have this in his own Chidushim, but the Ritva cites it here. Says, what does it mean, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkah? Every citizen, what does that mean? So he says, a citizen is someone who has a certain kind of comfort level, a certain kind of familiarity living in this area. Ezrachut just doesn't just mean citizenship in like a technical sense, but it means that there's a certain kind of comfort level that that individual has in a state, in a society, or in a particular place. So comes along the Ritva and he says, when the Torah says, Kol hezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkot, that's ezrach ra'anan. Right? What does that remind you of? You hear the word Ra'anan. What do you think?
Zayit Ra'anan.
What? Okay. Zayit Ra'anan. That's what you're thinking. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. The safer. Yes. New? There's a place. No one else? Am I the only one? Yeah, I'm the only one who called Ra'anan.
When I hear Ra'anan, there's nothing else I think of.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. What does it mean? What does it mean, Ezrach Ra'anan?
A fresh resident.
Yeah, right? There's like a, what does that even mean? Like, it's a strange, awkward phrase, but I think it's something along.
A new guy.
What?
A new guy.
Oh, I think it means something along these lines. I think I understand Ezrach Ra'anan is sort of like the comfort level, the freshness, the familiarity, right? Like, this is, like, I'm vacationing in my sukkah, right? Like, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself. So, Teishu Kein Tadiru, in this sense, he doesn't say explicitly Teishu Kein Tadiru, but in this sense, it doesn't just mean, oh, I live in my sukkah like I live in my home. No, it means more than that. It is. I'm like, I'm having a good time. I'm in the tile of a sukkah. That's the idea. Right, and that's I think. And by the way, he says that explains Holchei Drachim and Shomei Prayeros, right? And Teishu Kein Tadiru. He says that's Pshat Teishu Kein Tadiru. Teishu Kein Tadiru is telling me not just technically, it's like this equation: live in the sukkah like you live in home. No, it's more than that. It means that, like you're having, right? Forgive me, you know what I mean? Yeah. A party in your sukkah, like you're having a good time. The title of the sukkah. What?
What if you just like really hate being outside? Like you're a person who's like one of those.
Then you crack open you're safer, Lior. You gotta start learning in your sukkah, and you love it.
New York, you guys, you can't live without your air conditioning.
That's who's listening to this.
You send them to Mahana.
We didn't mean that.
You send them to Mahana.
Forgive us. Forgive us.
People go camping.
The opinions held here are not right. No matter. Representative of Kohala Yeshiva.
Okay. Why should this be? Why should this be? So here's what I think it is. It goes back to the symbolism of the sukkah. Why do we sit in the sukkah in the first place? So we always say, well, because when we were in the Midbar, God either placed us in Sukkot Mamash, or he placed us under the Anan Yaakovah. Mm-hmm. So to remember that miracle, so we sit in the sukkah as well. And some go further and say, well, it teaches us Emunah and Bitachon and themes like that, just like Klai saw that Emunah, Bitachon, and Midbar. So too, we're meant to have that as well. I want to go further. Okay, I want to say it's more than that. I want to say the Anan Yaakovah in particular, with God's protection of the Jews in the Midbar, was more than that. It was to make the Jews comfortable. There is a whole series of Midrashim that say when the Jews were in the desert, God did not just protect us externally from our enemies, but he made us comfortable. Like we didn't have to wear shoes because we had the most comfortable. So what do you mean? We were walking in the desert. No, but the Anan Yaakovah made it as pleasant as possible. You didn't have to send out your clothing to the dry cleaners. You know why? Right? A, they weren't invented yet. And B, right? Because Anan Yaakovah, right? The whole series of Midrashim, Barashi quotes it, right? In Varim Perakhat Wasigdalit. As you guys hopefully got to see. Anan Yaakovah, you shafim bichsutam, umigahad simotam. Gihuts. That's what's iron. Not allowed for the 9 days, right? Iron them. Gihuts. That's what you're not allowed to do. That's what you're only allowed to do now. Everyone did their laundry yesterday, right? That's the dry cleaning. Right? The Anan Yaakovah with the dry cleaners. Unbelievable. Why? What does that mean? What does that represent? Because it wasn't just that God protected us, but God made us comfortable. And there's a lot more about this in a whole series of Midrash.
I love this.
So this, that I think, is shot in the Tosfos Harash, that the Mesham Sheikhola are exempted because of Lahi Kilu Mishum Nachat Laso Nachat Ruach Lo, is not just because the idea is, well, teaching it to Duru or some technical tour. Nachat Ruach Lo is essential, it is basic, it's fundamental to the whole idea of Ezrach Ra'anan, of Teshu Kain to Duru, and ultimately the whole theme of the holiday of Sukkot. So now we have a deeper idea. What Teshu Kain to Duru, according to the Ritva, and the Ramban, and the Tosfos Harash, and perhaps the whole Sugya, but certainly as we've shown them, all lead in this direction, is it saying more than Teshu Kain to Duru means you should have a good time. You should be comfortable. Because you know what? That's what God did for us in the Midbar. And finally, why did God do that for us in the Midbar? Because he loved us. This is a theme in Judaism that's very complex, especially post-Holocaust. I mean, cannibal Holocaust, we're over time already. But like the idea, God loves us, is, and by the way, if you listen to Christian pastors, they haven't forgotten about this idea. Maybe they didn't have their, you know, it wasn't the same kind of historical experience for them. We've had a darker experience at major points in our history. But, you know, it's interesting. The idea that God loves us is something we've like outsourced to another faith almost, right? It's interesting. What rabbi gets up and says, God loves you, Lior? You ever have a rabbi say, God, right? You ever have a yeshiva? Right? God loves you. Like, amen. You don't even say amen. You only say amen. But the Torah says that God loves us. Now it's complicated. And again, we can have a philosophy class on this theme another time.
Please.
But, right? Please. Okay. We have to like move away and do that. But it's here, right? And I gave it to you in source well. Kimi avat Hashem etzchem, right? The idea that God demonstrated his love for the Jewish people in the Midbar. Okay? That's a keeper. Okay? If that's the only thing that they remember, okay? That's going to be it.
That's a key word.
So that's what?
Demonstrated.
That's the key word. Oh, we're back in ninth grade. Okay, good. Everyone else finally got it. Aviv is like so much ahead of all of us. You see that? We all took 5 seconds to catch up there. Good. And I think it's a beautiful idea. So God loves us, therefore God cares for us in the Midbar by not just protecting us from enemies, but caring for us in a very personal way and doing
nothing.
Right? And taking care of our physical needs and that beautiful doing a dry cleaning for us. That's the symbolism of the sukkah. That becomes Teshu Kain Tiru. That becomes Ezrach Ra'anan. That becomes Sprat in the Tosfos Harash's exemption of not just the Chola, but the Mesham Sheikhola, Ikilu Mishum Nachlaso Nacharuach Lo, but Nacharuach equals Ezrach Ra'anan equals this entire theme. So that is the Chiddush. Objective or subjective, I have no idea, but that hopefully gives you a little bit more insight. All right, good.
Shoyach.
All right, we'll have to talk a little bit about more Mitzayer, and we're going to go on from there. Looking forward to continuing.